Know whether you've noticed the theme of the songs this morning. We've had the certainty of Calvary and the uncertainty of tomorrow. I don't know whether you noticed when our brother Herb said about getting tired, my hand went up immediately. What else do you come to church for but to find something to complain about? It's good to be back with you. I trust God will bless us as we look into His Word today. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was particularly delighted with the hymns because my theme today is the cross. I want to tell you I'm going to fail in telling out the glories of the cross. No matter how much liberty, no matter how much blessing, we can never plumb the depths of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read the first four verses. I want you to follow them with me. I want you to grasp something of what the Word of God says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer as we prepare to hear the Word of the Lord. Our God and Father, we've just been singing, all my iniquities on Him were led. He bore them all to the tree. Jesus, the debt of my sin fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Our Father, we pray that by Thy Spirit this morning we may be taken to that cross, and that we may bow before Him who there died for me. Father, bless Thy Word to us this morning, and grant to us a fresh vision of Christ, a fresh vision of Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen. I had difficulties in deciding what to preach on. One of my problems is I have difficulties remembering what I have preached here and what I haven't. Brother McNeil laughs. He understands that problem. But I got down before the Lord the other morning and I read the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 when he writes to the Corinthians and he said that I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And from that moment I determined that I was going to preach today about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, whoever chose the hymns, the Lord had laid that same burden on their heart, the burden of the cross. But what I want to do this morning is I want you to look with me at three very simple thoughts. They're based upon 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The three very simple thoughts are the fact of Christ's death, the purpose of Christ's death, and the application of Christ's death. I wonder, do you and I really appreciate the depth, the magnificence of the words that we have read? Christ died. The greatest person that had ever walked this scene of time. The only one upon whom death had no claim. The Son of Man, the Son of God. And the Apostle Paul writes so simply, Christ died. Child of God, you're saved. You should never forget that fact. And yet we do. You know, I was talking to someone about memory the other day, and I confess to you, my memory's getting worse. I tell my son, I've got a good memory, but it's a short one, so you have to remind me often. But you know, one day the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, and they were there and they saw him feeding the multitude. Now, you and I would think, if you're there and you see Jesus performing that miracle, you would never forget it. On another occasion, when he fed the 3,000, they were there and they saw his ability again to feed the multitude. You know, in my reading the other morning, and I came upon the fact that one day they were going out into the wilderness. And Jesus realized that there was trouble in their minds. And they're walking beside the Master, and what are they talking about? They're getting concerned because they hadn't bought any food for the journey. And Jesus turns to the disciples who had seen the great miracles, and he looked at the disciples and he says, have you forgotten the 5,000? Have you forgotten the 3,000? You know, I wonder sometimes if the Lord looks down and looks into my heart and into my life and says, have you forgotten Calvary? Have you forgotten that one day my son was nailed to a cross for you? Have you forgotten that one day after bearing all your sins, he became obedient unto death? Tell me, have you forgotten, child of God? Will you be at the Lord's Supper tonight? Do you know why the Lord instituted that supper? Because he knows how prone we are to forget. That's the truth. That's the truth. The world celebrates it once a year because they want to forget. But the Lord of heaven tells us, as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you remember my death until I come. Beloved, this is a fact. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved. I want to say this to you. I want to plead with you this morning. Don't take these words for granted. Christ died. Don't sit here this morning and allow Satan to tell you, oh, come on, you've heard all this before. This is the most astounding fact that you and I could ever come to hear. Christ died. The Apostle Paul impresses me as a man who lived in the light of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to do with you very briefly is I want you to look, first of all, at his heart attitude to the cross. Turn over with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. In verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see that heart attitude? I am crucified with Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn over to chapter 6 of that same book of Galatians. I'm going to read with you from verse 12, because verse 12 is a beautiful introduction and a beautiful comparison. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Tell me, what place do you think Paul gave the cross in his life? Do you think by any chance it was foremost in his thinking? Do you think by any chance it was central in his living? I have no doubt it was. I have no doubt that he lived in spite of all the sufferings and the problems and the difficulties, in spite of all the darkness round about him, I have no doubt that this man, Paul, lived in the light of the cross of Jesus Christ. He says, I've got nothing else to glory in. There's nothing else about me that is important. Nothing else about me worth recording, except for the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me upon a cross. Upon a cross. I'd love to take time with you this morning and consider his writings. I'd like to read some of them with you. Turn back to Romans chapter 3. If I stood here this morning and went to every reference the Apostle Paul gave about the cross, it would be a blessing to you, and you wouldn't need to go home between the meetings today. You'd be here till the Lord's Supper. Because I mean it honestly. In every letter, in every page, the theme reoccurs and reoccurs, the cross, the death of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Now he's just declared in verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then he says this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness, his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Over into chapter 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those words again. Christ died. I'm not going to go through the verses, but in every subject that the apostle writes about, the death of Jesus Christ is the heart of it. When he writes about the second coming, he reminds them that it's guaranteed because of the cross. When he writes to the Thessalonians about what happens to those who die, who fall asleep in Christ, he writes and he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, every subject under the sun, he brings it back. Everything of any importance, he brings it back to this fact that Christ died. I hope you notice I didn't take time this morning to try and prove to you that Christ died. No intentions of beginning. One of the things that impresses me about the Word of God is that God declares it. You can believe it or not believe it, but that doesn't change one thing about it. Oh, I could tell you, you go back in and you read the Jewish historians. They'll only tell you the same as the Bible tells you, with much less authority and much less information. They'll tell you that Christ died. Or I could tell you to go back and read the Roman historians. Why they hated him. But they'll record the same fact. Christ died. Tell me, do you really believe that this morning? Do you really believe that this is a fact that is the center of all that God has to say to mankind today? Do you really believe that this is a fact that deserves to be central in your thinking in 1997? You see, this fact is not negotiable. I went to a meeting last week where there were 15 ministers of religion, and I'm not going to go any further than that in my description. It was at our local hospital. And right at the beginning, I sat with horror that I'd made the mistake of going, but by the time the meeting was over, I was absolutely convinced that I had no place amongst them. I'm sorry if that sounds judgmental, but they were telling the hospital authorities, "We are professional ministers." And I was thinking, servants. We are the people who need to be there when your patients are sick. When your patients are dying. And I left thinking, if I know someone who's dying, those men are the last men I want to go into the room and tell them the last thing they're going to hear on this earth. Why? I didn't know one of them preached Christ crucified. And I know them. I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. That's the center and theme of our message. And it didn't take me very long to realize that these men were in the religion business. One of them made the statement, we don't need to be like those preachers who come into hospital and they want to save everybody. And I thought, that lets me out. I knew we were different. But it's true. And that's what's to set you and I apart from this world. Christ died, and it's a fact, and it's not negotiable, and it's not changeable, it's unalterable, because God declares it. I went home from that meeting, and my wife said to me, how was the meeting? I said, lunch was good. And she said, but how was the meeting? I said, you don't want to know. Just let it drop. Just sorry I went. Preachers with no interest in the fact that Christ died. I make it sound funny, but believe me, it's sad. Believe me, it's sad. You can go through all the writings of Paul and you will find that the death of Jesus Christ was a central fact in his whole life. It was the theme of his message and it was the theme of his daily conversation. Christ died. But you know, he doesn't only give us the fact of Christ's death. He gives us the purpose. Christ died for our sins. a marvelous statement. We sang those lovely hymns about the cross. He was on that cross for your sins, for my sins. Now you can sit in this meeting this morning and say, well, that's nice, but it doesn't bother me. It's not important to me. I want to stand beside the Apostle Paul and say, that's the only thing worth recording in my life. Because everything else without that fact is totally meaningless. I deal on a daily basis with people who suffer loss. I can't tell them how not to lose their money. I can't tell them how not to lose their health. But I can tell them how not to lose their eternal soul. Why? Because Christ died for our sins. And you know, I'm glad that it was God who took my sins and laid them on His Son as He died upon that cross. I love the words of the old hymn writer when he said, all my sins were laid upon Him. Wouldn't it be awful if one of my sins had been missed? Wouldn't it be awful if man had taken note of my sins and didn't recognize some of them as mine, and all my sins were laid upon Him. Jesus bore them on that tree. God, who knew them, laid them on Him. And believing, I go free. Oh, my dear brother, sister in Christ, this fact should permeate our hearts and our lives every moment of every day. I listened to a preacher recently, and he said he came from South Africa, and he had the same experience as me when I came to America and I asked for a cup of tea. He said they brought him a glass full of ice. And he knew they didn't understand. But then he said he also realized that even when he got hot tea, it was like drinking hot water. Because you see, they didn't boil the water properly. I don't know whose house I'm going to today, but this is not an introduction. He said they took lukewarm water and they took the tea bag and they dipped it in 3 or 4 times. And the water didn't get into the tea bag and the tea bag didn't get into the water. So we didn't know whether it could be called tea or not. And then he used this illustration. He said, the person of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, is to become part of your being, just the way the tea and the water are to become one. There is to be an infusion and an effusion together. Because Christ died for your sins when He died on that cross. I'd love to spend time on that thought. You know, there are many people today who know that Christ died for their sins, and they're on their way to hell. In fact, there are people who are in hell today who heard many, many times that Christ died for their sins. You see, the message of the gospel is all in the application. It's not just the facts. And the facts are glorious. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand." You see, it is useless knowing all the facts. The fact that Christ died. The fact that Christ died for our sins. It's useless knowing that if you have never come to the place before the God of heaven where you say, "God, I receive your Son as my Savior." It's meaningless. Totally and absolutely meaningless. My sister is very sick at She's been sick for a long time. She's suffering from degenerative multiple sclerosis. And Mom told me a few months ago that they brought out a new medicine and told me how expensive it was and how widely tested it was. And I said to my sister one day on the phone, I said, "Is it doing you any good?" And she said, "Not at all." And I said, "Wonder why?" And she said, "Because I haven't been taking it." I'm afraid of what it might do to me. And I said, "Janet, your life has been nothing but pain and agony. And the doctors have already told you that you're dying very quickly. Can the effects be any worse than that?" You know, when I talk about the death of Jesus Christ, I meet a lot of people who don't want the application of his death because of what it's going to mean to them. You know that? They'd much rather forget that Jesus died. They'd much rather forget that they have a burden of sin that is going to take them to that awful place called hell for eternity. They don't want to know the need. They don't want to know the danger. They don't want to know the facts. Because they don't want to know the true application of the facts. You see, if I believe the Bible to be the Word of God, I've got to start putting my life in line with it. And if I believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross because I'm a sinner in danger of hell, and I need to do something about it. "Ah, preacher, I'm content to come to church every Sunday and just sit here until I'm old enough to get away from Mom and Dad, and then I'll show them what it is to live." Boy, I pray that you get to the cross before you get away from Mom and Dad. I do. I must be the only preacher in Sanford who pays $30 a month for telephone calls to the local prisons. Collect calls of people who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, refused to come to the place where they say, "Lord Jesus, You died for me. I receive you as my Savior. They know a better way. And society has to lock them up for our good and for their own good. Well, let me plead with you this morning. Don't be satisfied in knowing that Jesus died. Don't even be satisfied in knowing that He died for you. Make sure you come and you say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. And then stand on it. Don't hide it. Stand on it. You notice what the apostle says? Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, well, listen to these words, by which also ye are saved. Now that's the purpose of the death of Christ. That's the application of the death of Christ. All my iniquities, God laid them on Him. All my indebtedness by Him was paid. Tell me, what about you? Do you believe 1 Corinthians 15:3 this morning? Christ died. Thank God, I believe it. Christ died for our sins. Thank God, I believe it. Which ye have also received, I thank God every day for the gracious ministry of His Spirit that brought me to faith in Christ. I look back to a little bedroom in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and a poor, guilty sinner who got down on his knees and said, Jesus, I want to thank you for dying for me. And that's where I stand. And that's where I stand before the God of heaven. And that's where I stand for eternity. Tell me, will you stand with me this morning? Let's bow our hearts in prayer. It may be that you're in this meeting this morning and you know all the facts, but you don't know the Savior. You could turn to all the Scriptures, but you don't know the reality of having received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I would love to take the time and to have the opportunity to show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. How you can know that you have that right standing before God. How that you can know that you're right for eternity. I'll be standing at the door. If you'd like to talk with me, if you'd like to talk with one of the elders, we'd love the privilege of pointing you to Christ. Just don't leave with the facts and not the application. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank you that you sent your Son into this world and that Christ died. Died for rebels. Died for sinners. Died for me. We pray for any in this meeting who don't know him. who have never received Him. Oh God, that You would be gracious to them today. That by Your Spirit You would reach to them. You would bring them to Christ. Father, we pray as we go from this place, as the world would seek to fill our minds with so many other things, Father, burn upon our hearts today that fact that Christ died for our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. And for His eternal glory. Amen.